Hello and welcome to episode number 83 of the WP Cafe show with me, Keith Devon, and my co-host, Mark Wilkinson. It's a show where we talk about all things WordPress development and business and stuff like that. Kind of a bit of an online journal of our development as a business as well, which hopefully you find interesting to follow along with. Today, we've got actually quite a lot to talk about this week. So hopefully we'll fit it all in. Some of the topics are going to be background processing in WordPress, which we've certainly both found very interesting digging into that this week. We're going to talk about patterns versus template parts versus templates and kind of what they're all supposed to do and like a bit of confusion around that for us. We're going to talk about a frustrating aspect of the block editor around aligning blocks. And also the stack block. What is that? Why would you use it? And some of the kind of quirks that we've kind of discovered with that. We'll also do a little section on things that we've been watching, reading, and generally finding interesting this week. I think that's mostly going to be Mark contributing to that. So thank you for joining us. If you are here live on YouTube, please do say hello in the comments. We love to hear from you. Please chat along with us, ask us questions, throw in your insights and feedback. We'll do our best to kind of bring you into the show. If you're listening on the podcast, you're also very, very welcome. Do remember to subscribe if you do enjoy the show. And likes are always a massive little boost for us. It really helps us out. So, Mark, how have you been this week?
I have had a good week this week. It's been quite good fun learning some new stuff, getting into some development. Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been one of those days, one of those weeks where I feel some of the days I've had, I've been like dead chilled, and then some days I've been really busy, and yep. Then next day I'll be really chilled, and the next day I'll be really busy, and then like today's a bit more of a chilled day. For always is on a Friday with this show as well, which is nice. So yeah, it's been a good week. Been a good week. Yeah. What about you?
Pretty good. Yeah, just been enjoying some of the work that we've been doing recently, some of the discussions we've been having recently about some kind of new product ideas or new feature ideas and how we're going to deliver them, and just some interesting stuff. There's been also some stuff around the advertising for RecPress, which actually didn't make the list, but we could really briefly touch on that as well. That's true. Maybe more on the negative side of things, but generally feeling pretty good, feeling pretty positive.
Lots of ideas. We've always got lots of ideas.
Yeah, we're good at ideas. And sometimes we're not bad at, you know, turning those into reality. It's the next
we get it right.
We struggle with. Yeah, yeah. Let's jump in then to the kind of the first and potentially main topic of the show. Background processing. I noticed that Ian Poulsen is watching along, and he might have some things to say about this as we go along. So I'm just going to say hi to people who have said hi. Hi, Ian. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Nick. Hi, Exalams. Hello, Elliot. Yeah. So thank you for your comments. Mark, take it away.
So background processing, why did this come about? Our product job really, as regular listeners will know, is responsible for taking jobs that are sent to us from multi-posting providers and then sending those on to people's WordPress sites. Now, in the main, that happens one job at a time. So posting provider sends one job to us, we send it one job onto them, we relay it, hence the name, and all is good. But some of the providers, the way in which their systems work, means that they actually send a complete live list of jobs for the client. And in the particular example that I was working on this week, the client had 92 jobs in their feed, which is not wholly unusual, but not that usual, if that makes sense. You think, you know, will an agency have 92 jobs live on their site? Yeah, we have many agencies that we work with that will have that many jobs live at one time. But it's probably not the norm. Most agencies have got 10 or 20, I would imagine, at any one particular time. Well, certainly the agencies we work with. So in this instance, it comes across to us. We then process that and send it onto the website. And what was happening is that the website is taking too long to respond, process those jobs, do the job that it was supposed to do on the website. And we're getting some timeouts and just things tend to not flow in the right direction and things just go, error, don't like that. Basically, that's the long and short of it. So I sort of came up with the idea, one of our chats, as Keith was talking about before, wouldn't it be great if instead of like delivering the jobs at the point in time, we could actually just split them all into single transactions. So those 92 jobs can be sent, you know, 92 times. And they don't actually have to be sent immediately. They could be queued and then the queue could be worked on one at a time. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Delicious Brains, Ian and his team, have already built something which I believe, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, they use in the WP Migrate DB Pro product that does this exact thing. It allows you to queue up tasks that are then delivered or delivered in my case, but you know, worked on in the background whilst your website can be doing other things. And from what I've read and believe, it's very good in terms of it, you know, it looks at your server resources and it's quite self-contained. You just add stuff to a queue, you tell it what to do with the stuff in the queue, and it goes away and does it, thank you, Elliot, asynchronously in the background while you carry on with your stuff. So I was quite excited by this and jumped into the package. And a little bit of help from Ian and Ross Wintle as well, I managed to get this installed on just a testing site, and I managed to create a queue for the background processing. I managed to add stuff to the queue. My task was just logging something in a log file. It wasn't particularly exciting, so I haven't tried this in earnest yet in terms of like real data and real sending stuff and processing stuff. But I kind of know that works. So when you do one job at a time, so I'm not too worried about that. And then I kind of just started throwing loads of tasks at this queue and just seeing what happens. And it was remarkably good. It's like you can just keep chucking stuff at it and it just keeps running through the queue and doing what your stuff. And then I managed to output a message at the end. You know, when the queue's finished, it kind of tells you it's finished in the log file, and it does it like that. So, yeah, I was really excited and like pleased that I'd got this to work. Everyone might be different, but I always find you kind of look at something like this and you've got this massive hurdle to get over, you know, like what's it do, how to understand it and so forth. But I think I've now understood the concepts of what it's doing, and I think it's going to be really good for us. It uses a class-based system, which obviously is the modern way of doing things, which is not particularly my cup of tea. It's not something I'm comfortable with using, but I managed to get it to understand what it was happening. So you kind of extend the class that is with the I'm going to call it a plugin. I don't know if it's a plugin or not, but it's not a plugin. It's more of a collection of files that you just include. And then by doing that, you're creating like a queue. That class is like a queue, and then you can add stuff to that queue from multiple places if you want to. We might do that because we have multiple endpoints for different providers, and they'll all eventually put stuff in a queue. The sort of downside of this is that it's awesome, and now I just want to rebuild everything using the queue, which will take a while. So I've got to back away from the background processing for a minute and I've got other stuff to do. But yeah, really exciting stuff. I just want to dig into it and get going with it further.
Yeah. That's really cool. A few little comments and things. First, Peter also says hello. Hello from Connecticut. Hi, Peter. Hi. Nice to have you along again. Ian says, yeah, it's used in WP Migrate. So it's not called WP Migrate DB.
Oh, is it not? Sorry.
Used anymore. WP Migrate and WP Offload Media and WooCommerce as well for delaying transactional emails, which is kind of interesting. And Elliot asks, is that a particular lib or library, I guess? So do you know what that's called, Mark, or where you find it?
It's on GitHub. It was in the Delicious Brains repository. It's just called WP Background Processing, I believe.
Very good.
There's a repo. Yep. We can put the repo in the... In fact, it probably is in the description below, I think. I think I put these things in the description. If it's not, we'll add it at some point in the future.
Cool.
But it's in there. Yeah, so... And then I started getting all sorts of ideas. Like, you could have a live list of the queue, like, find your job in the queue. Where is it? When's it going to be posted? And stuff like that. And then you could, like, and I mean, obviously, you can do things like pause the queue if you needed to pause it, which actually got me into a question, which I'm not expecting any answers at the moment. But what happens if I've got a big, long queue of jobs and I need to restart my server? I don't want to lose that queue. So can I pause the queue? Is it saved to the database? And then when I restart the queue, once I've restarted the server and done my updates, will that work? I don't know. I'd have to test it. But anyway, but that's a good point. Exciting stuff. But we need to do a lot of work to sort of incorporate that into things. I think first, what we might do is just incorporate that into the ones that use multiple jobs, leave the others as they are, and then eventually bring everything into the same thing.
Here's the big question mark. Did you install with Composer?
How does a politician answer that question?
Something about the right thing to do, I think.
I'll let you decide whether I did that, Ian. With Composer.
Anyway, moving on. Next up, anything else to say on that? Firstly, Mark, on the background processing side of things, I think kind of.
No, I think the other thing is just another great example of WordPress being open source software, and wonderful people like the team at Delicious Brains build this stuff and let everyone else use it. It's fantastic, you know. I couldn't build that, or you know. Certainly not with a lot of work, and it's out there for us to use. It's amazing. So it's great.
Yeah, brilliant. So thanks to the Delicious Brains team doing great stuff like always. Super.
Yeah.
The next topic was patterns versus template parts versus templates. This came about, so the next few things we're going to talk about has come about because we are thinking of introducing a new feature to one of our plugins that involves you. Do I need to be vague about this? I don't know. Maybe I should be for now. Using the block editor in a kind of non-standard way, I guess I could say, in that it's not to display a web page. It's basically as a design tool for something else. I'll put it like that. And we were starting to think about, well, how is that actually going to look from a client's point of view? And I think both of us originally thought, well, we'll just create a custom post type, and the templates that are being designed will be posts. And then I thought, well, we're designing templates, so surely they should be templates. And then we're like, and can we categorize templates? We're not sure we can categorize templates. If we can, that would be super useful. So we can say, these are all the high-rise templates, for instance. And then we were like, or should we, and then are we going to use patterns? Maybe we'll use patterns in some way. If we're going to have preset templates, maybe we'll use patterns within the I don't know. And then it was like,
here's a collection of patterns that are like going to give you a starter.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're designing. Yeah.
And then we were both like, and then there's template parts. And we were like, we both sort of understand what template parts are, but then not really. Like, what's the difference between a template part and a synchronized pattern? Or
I'm not
like,
sure.
What would you put in it? What should go in a template part? So currently, the site header, site footer, and I think some themes have like sidebar go in as a template part. What other conceivable template parts are there on a website that aren't a pattern? Like, well, how do you draw the line between those two things? I honestly don't know.
I'm not sure. What I do know is that when you go into the site editor, you've patterns is the, so you've got like navigation styles, pages. Don't know why pages is there, because I'm in the site editor. That's confusing. Is that actual pages? Oh, I've got something on screen. That's what I'm looking at. It is. It's the actual page list as well. Why isn't post there then? Anyway, we digress. Then you've got templates. Then you've got patterns. Template parts live inside of patterns. So that kind of implies that they are a pattern.
Mm.
And what's the difference between a template part and a pattern? I'm not sure. The 2024 theme, which I've got active here, has a header and a footer pattern, which appear to be treated differently. That they're like a special pattern. I don't know what that actually means. They've got a different icon next to them, for example. They're in their own category, I think. Maybe it is just a category, I'm not sure. And it also has a general category for template parts, and 2024 comes with a post-meta template part, which looks like posted by John Smith on Sunday, the 25th of December. And then it has a sidebar template part. But to me, they're just patterns, aren't they, surely? They're just patterns. They're just layouts of things with blocks in them that get reused. So why, what is the difference?
But when you put a pattern on a page, maybe template parts are never supposed to be different between pages on a site. Like, that is always going to look, the header's going to be the same and the footer's going to be the same. You don't edit it. You don't add it to a page and then edit it. So it lives kind of independently to the page or post or single item that you're on. I think you might be right there,
but then why are they inside of patterns?
Yeah, I don't know. And not templates.
Correct. Because they sound more like templates than
template part. Like, it should, yeah.
Not patterns. I just think that's extremely confusing. I mean, I kind of understand template parts in sort of classic theming, where you've got this reusable piece of code. You know, for example, you might have a loop, and then the output of the loop is this piece of code that's used, you know, which outputs the title, the content, and then a read more button. And you might want to use that in multiple places inside multiple loops on your website, so you create a template part and reuse it. But I don't really think anyone would understand what template parts means if you've never used WordPress before. Like, you're jumping into this and you're like, patterns, yeah, you could probably understand patterns. I know other CMSs use like layouts as that sort of term, which could be a bit more intuitive. But I think you could understand patterns, but template parts is confusing to me. I wouldn't understand what that was.
Yeah. Elliot says here, the naming convention in FSC is really confusing, templates being the worst element. Yeah. Interesting, because Elliot's suggesting includes. I would say includes is an even more developer-focused.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, naming convention that would really confuse end users. Like, what on earth is an include to a layman? Makes sense to me, Elliot, but yeah, maybe not. Ashley, very confusing. They're all just components. Again, components is a very developer-y word. But we're doing developer-y things. We're building websites. You know, it's tricky. It's tricky to abstract, like, find a balance between what makes sense for people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we do need to look outside the WordPress bubble. Like you said, you know, other systems use different terms, like layout. Maybe we need to adopt something like that. I think we'll probably, like, WordPress being as big as it is, kind of gets to set the agenda on this stuff. Like, it needs to be less confusing. Like, it needs to be clearer what the difference between all these things is. I think WordPress is in a position where it kind of can set the agenda, and other people should follow rather than us following a Squarespace convention. Why would we follow a Squarespace convention when they only have the market share that they do? So, yes, but yeah, interesting.
Having pages, though, in that said, I didn't realize they were there before. I think that's very strange.
So what are you doing there? So are you going to the edit page screen, or are you editing a page template? I mean, I shouldn't even have to ask that question, but
I don't know. That's the problem. I think I'm in the block editor now.
Yeah. And are you editing the content of the page?
I'm editing the content of the page, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I can't click on the header. I can't, like, click on the header and change the header in this point. So I'm back in the standard.
So you're not editing a template there?
No. So that's strange. But
you've come to it via the templates screen?
No, I've come to it by what's called the design screen, which is where you click on appearance, site editor. And then it says navigation, which is strange because that's just a block, isn't it? I don't know what navigation is. Anyway, styles. pages, like Post isn't there. When I click into Pages, I get three pages that are in my site, and then I also get page 404 and search results at the bottom, which is weird. And then I can click Manage Page. What? Manage Pages? Because 404 isn't a page, it's a template, isn't it?
That's what I understood. I thought those were all templates. So Nick has said, why do we even need template parts in FSE when patterns do the same thing? Is there a functional difference? That's the question I'm trying to ask, Nick.
Yeah.
And actually, I think if we renamed like the header and footer and sidebar into like synced patterns, that actually helps the user understand what those are and how they can be used rather than calling them something completely different and positioning them elsewhere on the site. Like, yeah, it's maybe, yeah, something that probably will get worked on at some point, but yeah, it is confusing. And like, if we don't understand this stuff, it's a bit, yeah, I don't know. I'm worried for how other people are going to get on with it. Another little frustration that we found was we were just playing with the block editor because we had an idea in our heads. We're like, can we do what we're thinking in the block editor? And you just opened up a edit page or edit post screen, and we started saying, all right, throw a cover block on it, then we'll throw this in, and we'll, can we position this within the cover block in this way? No, was the inevitable answer. So yeah, we didn't have kind of the control we wanted. And then I think you added something, was it columns or something? And you're like, I want it to be full width.
Columns.
Yeah. I want this to be full width of the screen. I was like, where are the alignment controls?
Where's the line button gone?
It's like, you clicked on the block, wide. Columns block. I can't change it to align wide or align full. And I was like, I bet you have to put it in a group. Right enough, so, put it in a group and you get all those controls. Like, why? Like,
why do I have to group something to be able to align wide or align full?
And again, how confusing for a user. Like, I've come up against this before whenever I was building my friend's site on .com. I was trying to build like a homepage, like one of the page templates. And I couldn't make sense of why I didn't have controls. And that's, I think I just trial and error. I figured that it had to be in a group. In fact, I think I looked at one of the other templates that was working. It's like, how are they doing it? I was like, oh, that's it wrapped in a group. Maybe that does it. But that's a developer. So I was saying to you, Mark, how it would be really good, I think, if a block isn't nested in a group and those alignment controls aren't available, gray them out, put some kind of like, you can't use this status or like visual kind of status on it. And then on hover, maybe give the user a clue as to why. Like, if you want to use these controls, you need to put it in a group. Or just
press
that.
Click here to group this element, you know, something like that.
Well, yeah, something like that. But that was that was weird and confusing.
But I'm interested. Why is there a technical reason why I can't align something that's not in a group? Is there a limitation here? And I don't know what it is. And I don't really understand CSS very well. But I was asking you, like, is there a CSS reason why this is the case? And you couldn't really come up with one.
You can't. Yeah, and unless it's just that's the way that the CSS core, I need to look at the core CSS. That might be the way the core CSS is written. It's looking for children. Like, if you're a child of something, like of a block, then, you know, the alignment stuff work, and they only work if you're a child. So if you're just the root level element, like none of that stuff works. But it looks very deliberate, though. It's not just that the CSS doesn't work. The controls are removed. So it's not, like, it's a kind of deliberate decision.
If they're not going to work, though, you wouldn't want them there. Then I click, well, I'm wide, and it doesn't do anything. They're better not being there, I would imagine. You know? Anyway.
Okay, I don't quite understand this, but thank you, Elliot, for the comment. But let's see if we can work this out. Elliot says, because you set content and wide widths for consistency, the group block breaks out of that convention. I don't understand that.
No.
I know you can override the content and wide widths within a group. You can set those per group. Maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, but I just would have thought
there's like a theme.
Yeah, my theme's content width is 600 and the wide width is 900. But when you put a group block on the page, you can say for this block, for this group, my wide width and my content width and wide width are completely different, and you can put the numbers in. I don't quite know why you want to do
that. I think Elliot's probably onto it there, though. Then he says, yeah, they are also set in the theme.json. I still don't understand why it requires a group block. And that's an interesting one. Josh, thanks for the comment, Josh. In the style editor, you define your content and wide widths for your website. The only way to break those rules is using a group block, but we're not talking about breaking the rules.
No, we're just saying I want to set this particular element as a wide width element.
Yeah.
My theme sets the wide width, so why can't I do that without putting it in a group?
Yeah, I just want to put a columns block at the root of the template. It's not wrapped in anything.
Yeah.
And I want to set it to wide. Why can't I do that? So interesting.
I don't know.
So interesting. But anyway, so that was a little frustration that we kind of came across, which was a bit annoying. Also,
the stack block.
That
was the next one.
Yeah.
What?
Weird. So you don't get this stuff at all, do you?
No, like no, in terms I don't get of stuff. It's often the case.
I kind of do, because just I'm more kind of front end oriented. So I kind of understand that we're talking about Flexbox basically. And the group block gives currently three variations. One, I think, is just the normal, its children are just the normal flow. The next one is the row variation. So I think it's a block variation. It's not a different block. It's a group block variation.
Yeah, but it's a variation, yeah.
And it's a row block. And I believe that is display flex and flex direction row. So when you add new elements to that block, they're going to be side by side. And then you can do things like space between, kind of, I can't remember what they're all called. You know, you can center them, you can left align them, right align them. You can do all that kind of stuff. And then I was trying to explain to you what the stack block does. And I was like, well, it's just that, but on its side, it's like twisted 90 degrees. So,
but how's that different to just a regular group block then?
Well,
because that stacks.
Because you've got those Flexbox style alignment controls in terms of justification and align. So within Flexbox, you've got two axes of alignment. Justifying, which is the like space between type stuff, and then just like top and bottom type alignments vertically. And then whenever it's flex column, that whole thing's again turned 90 degrees, and you can still do all that stuff. So if I've got a div and it's 300 pixels tall, I should be able to put a paragraph, two paragraphs in, and one's at the very top of that.
One's at the very bottom.
And one's at the very bottom by doing space between.
You can't do that if it's a standard group block. Because
from
a layman, a standard group block, if I add an element, they stack.
Yeah.
If I had a paragraph and then add another block, they stack. So that's why I don't like, what's a stack block then? Because I am in a stack block.
Yeah. But they, but you can't. Well, this is the thing.
So
what I was trying to show you, I couldn't actually do, because I couldn't force the height of the stack block. So I couldn't get any of those vertical alignments to work, because it was always just the height of its content.
We had a column block inside a cover block. The cover block was taller than the column block, but then I had three sentences in the column block, which were in a stack. And obviously, because the sentences wouldn't make the column block the height of the cover. So they didn't really spread, because there was no height to spread them in. And you can't set the height of it. So I don't understand how that would ever work.
I don't understand how it ever works either. I really don't.
But what's interesting is you're talking there about like Flexbox. And for me, unless you understand Flexbox, you're not going to understand what a stack and a row is. And how it works, really. I get row, I think, because there's a clear difference. When I add a group block, I add a block, and then the next block goes underneath, and the next block goes underneath, and the next block goes underneath. And I understand that you can't have these space between controls with that one. A row is clearly different because my blocks go in a row. I mean, that makes sense to me. I'm in a row, but the stack doesn't make sense unless you understand Flexbox.
And I don't know if this is probably a terrible idea, but what would make it much clearer is if we just remove the default group block and just had stack and row. Yeah. And it's like, I want things to like go side to side. I want things to go top to bottom. That and you can just choose between those two things. Yeah. But I've got a feeling you wouldn't want everything to be in a flex for some reasons. Flex is weird with margins and stuff like that. So it doesn't do normal margin stuff.
Couldn't you have it with a normal group block that as soon as you choose like space between or just whatever those, it turns it into a stack. It turns it into a flex box item. Well, I don't know what the terminology is. A flex container, is it, or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's always there on a group block, but it doesn't act like a flexbox container, if that's the right terminology, until you choose those alignment controls. I'm not sure whether that would work.
I'm not sure either. I feel like making something a flex container does things that you might not actually want. So, but I think it's close from a usability point of view, because I think people would get the concept of like a line bottom or space between or space around, like, because you can even design little icons that kind of visually explain that quite easily. But it's the difference between the default and the stack that is confusing, and the fact that we can't get those vertical stack alignments to work at all.
I was weird. Extremely confused.
Weird.
I think if you understand CSS and Flexbox. And I see this when people are trying to explain it. I see this in blog posts, and I see when people are trying to, it just becomes a Flexbox something or other, and then it's this. But more normal people don't understand Flexbox. They have no concept of what that is, including me, so it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that might be fine. That might be fine eventually. I don't know.
I think if
you want WordPress to become the place where, you know, anyone can come and build a website, they need to understand that stuff, and they're not going to. So is it that we need to communicate that better when they're doing it in the toolbars, in the editing experience, or do we just accept that you've got to learn it?
I'd love some more contextual help within the block editor, like hover over this icon and it actually tells you what it does. Mm. Like hover over a stack icon. And it tells you what the stack is and why that's different to the row or something. I think some of that stuff would be super useful. Lots to improve on. But we'll see. And we'll update you with that product idea or that feature idea in the future.
I think it's worth saying at this point, like, it is super powerful. Like, some of the videos I've seen out there of people doing stuff, you know, Jamie Marsland's channel is awesome for this sort of stuff. Like, just going and looking at what you can do with it. It is quite, like, it's really cool what it can do. It's a really good product, but it's just, I find myself, I can't do those things because I seem to be missing something. And maybe, like, you know, I have to go and watch those things and learn how to do them. But maybe that's just natural. That's what happens. I don't know. I feel that's... That could be a potential problem, but we'll see. Yeah. Let's just quickly look through some of these comments. Ashley mentioned in the previous discussion, can patterns be built up of other patterns? I don't know. Is the answer to that question?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would imagine so, but I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, patterns are just block markup.
Yeah.
Saved to the database.
Yeah.
Anyway, or to a theme file. So I don't know how you would include like one in another. And yeah, I'm not sure.
Something's telling me that's a bad idea for some reason. I don't know why, but something some alarm bell is ringing that says that is a silly idea. Anyway, Nick, back to what we were just discussing. This stuff is super frustrating. It would be delighted if two or three whole release cycles were dedicated to UI, UX improvements alone. No new features or phases, just QOL. What's QOL?
Quality of life, I think he means there.
I've seen this mentioned. Was it Anne McCarthy's post we talked about a few weeks ago? Was saying something not exactly the same as this, but similar. I think Brian Cord just mentioned things as well that are similar. We need to just kind of focus on some of these more basic changes before we start introducing other features. And I would probably agree with that, I think.
Yeah.
I think I would agree with that, yeah. Cool. Right.
Moving on, Mark, to your list of things that has interested you this week.
Yes, so I have been further watching and thoroughly enjoying Aruba Ahmed's JavaScript Essentials for WP Devs course. Beautifully delivered in my inbox once a day, which is lovely. Click on it. And they're like, what I think is really good is they're not like 25-minute videos. Some of them are like 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I think the maximum has been about 9 or 10 minutes. And the way in which she's presented those is like, oh, I don't know, it's perfect for me.
Yeah, she's great.
Really, really well presented. And I can't describe what I mean. So she was talking about like, you know, shorthand things in JavaScript that when you're coming in to learn stuff, you need some context of what that's like. So, and she does that really well. You know, like this is just an if-else statement, for example, and here's how we write it. And it's, you know, I think that's really good stuff. So if you haven't watched it, and you know what? Even if you've used JavaScript and you're pretty good at it, I'd watch it because I think there's some really really good concepts that she lays out. So it's on her YouTube channel. You'll find her. If you sign up to the newsletter sort of thing on her website, you get them delivered to your inbox, which I find quite nice. But I've been really enjoying that. I think it was up to like episode 9 or something. Cool. Comes in once a day, which is cool. I've also put a link to the background processing library, I think you call it, which is also there from Delicious Brains. So great to see that there. Thank you. Article on WP Tavern about the fact that it would appear that synced patterns are going to be punted from WordPress 6.5, which I was a bit disappointed about. Whether that's still the case, I don't know. But it was a bit disappointing. But the font library is now a goer, I believe. So that's now going to be in 6.5. There was a lot of debate about where to store the font files. Did they go in WP Contents Uploads folder, or did they go in another folder? And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, everyone, they have made the decision that they're going to go in a fonts folder in WP Contents. That was kind of what was holding that up. Might have been a delay, but
yeah,
that is now done. And then you've added one to the bottom of that list, which I don't know about.
Yeah, no, this was just, there's been quite a lot of chat on Twitter in the last 24 hours. Jamie Marsland he put out like a really simple little video showing a core grid block that is now in the Gutenberg plugin. And it was a really, simple video, but just showing the kind of basics of how that works. Looks like you kind of set up a grid, you place elements within it, and then you can kind of drag the kind of bounding areas of the grid around and snap elements onto it, and then it reorders things for you. And it looked nice. I've got lots of questions about...
Is it a group block?
It is a group block. It's a group variation. It is.
A group variation with a grid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks like that from the UI that was shown in the video anyway. It was like default row stack grid from what I could see. So, yeah, I think... and I was quite excited about it because after the conversation of how are we going to use the block editor as a design tool outside of web design, potentially. I thought, ooh, this could solve a lot of the problems we've just been trying to solve. But actually, thinking about it more, I'm almost guaranteed that it won't solve all those problems. But it might it'll give us some more options. It'll help. But I don't know.
I know you said it before that you'd like a grid option. So, and I think a lot of people said it as well. They need a CSS grid.
We need proper grids.
Yeah, which would be useful, definitely. Yeah, exciting. The other one I put in, and I think I've put these in the description, was the latest post on the WordPress News developer blog from Justin Tadlock, which was about, made me smile, which is about adding block variations with PHP. So you now no longer need to use JavaScript. Although, from reading it, I don't think they're quite as powerful as for JavaScript. There's some restrictions. But it's nice to see you can do them with PHP, which is
good. But with your new JavaScript skills, Mark.
Oh yeah, I'll be rocking them, definitely.
No problem at all. Yeah, good stuff.
Plugins in JavaScript and everything for long.
Lots going on. I haven't even touched on, there was like stuff around, what was the other thing I briefly kind of scanned through? Brian, again, did a article in the Tavern about how it seems that Automattic are really pushing the developer side of things, like trying to make the developer experience better. I don't know if this has been officially identified as a strategy or a problem that needed to be addressed, but it looks like lots of efforts are now being made with various outreach programs and developer resources and stuff to get us all back on board, which is good. I mean, it feels maybe like a little bit late, but it's gonna be a good thing, I think. So, And it does feel like there's a slight change in the tone in the community and in the powers that be. So hopefully that continues and we can make some progress together.
That's two things you've added to this list. And I asked you to start this just before we came on air, and you said, oh, I've got nothing more for that. You'll just call me yours.
Now he's got more and more and more. No, yeah. We'll leave it there. We'll
save those till next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've done 40 odd minutes.
We have. Thanks again, everyone who joined us. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Before you go, drop a little like for us and make sure to subscribe if you do enjoy the show. And tell your friends. We never say that either, do we? Share this on your socials. Yeah, it was a big show today. I think so. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. Maybe someone's been promoting us that we don't know about, which is great. So thank you if you have. Yeah, we'll be back again same time next week. I hope you have a great week. See you soon.
See you then. Bye-bye.